Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
So I want to talk about these spiritual senses becoming dulled when our heart becomes hardened to the will and the way and the word of God, when we begin to experience a spiritually hardened heart.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Welcome aboard, Truth Seekers. Welcome to Truth Infusion. We're glad to be with you today. I'm excited about what God has in store for us today, as always. And just a privilege and an honor for us to be allowed into your home, your vehicle, if you're listening by radio, maybe your earbuds, if you're plugged into your iPad or smartphone or what have you. In any case, we are excited about what God's doing through Truth Infusion, not because any of us that are a part of this ministry are worth any more than anybody else that's seeking the Lord. We're just excited to be used. The last few weeks, if you've been with us, I believe this is the fourth week in a study that we've been doing that really sprang out of Mark chapter 9. And in Mark chapter 9, we have a very familiar story. A story about a father that brings a son to Jesus because he needs Jesus to heal the boy. The boy is possessed with a demon that's been trying to kill him for many years. And the father comes with his hopes practically dashed, and he meets up with not Jesus as he was hoping, but nine of Jesus' disciples. With Jesus being on the Mount of Transfiguration at that time and them not being exactly sure when he would be back, the father begins to ask the disciples if they would take care of expelling this demon from his son. And the word tells us, the scripture tells us in Mark, that the disciples go to work to do that. Bad news comes when the father realizes that they have no power over the demon. In fact, that was the words that the father reported to Jesus. I asked your disciples to do it, but they had no power over it. And at that time, Jesus does what the disciples could not do. And in the meanwhile, Jesus also approaches this father's faith. And when they leave that day, the father has learned a great lesson in faith that I'm sure affected many people around him in time to come. But also the boy walked away free of the demon. And Jesus is left with his disciples. The disciples gather with Jesus after that event, and they ask him, I mean, just straight out, why couldn't we do it? And if you've been with us for the last few weeks, we have taken a look at precisely that. Why couldn't they do it? What happened? I took you back to Mark chapter 6, for it's in Mark chapter 6 that Jesus gives the disciples authority over demons, gives them delegated authority. The Greek word there is exousia, as we talked about in Mark chapter 6, and he sends them out two by two, if you recall. And they come back, we read in Mark chapter 30, when the apostles gathered to Jesus and told them all things, both what they had done and what they had taught, because as they went out, they used that delegated authority in different situations. Some of the situations were precisely what they could not do in Mark chapter 9. For in Mark chapter 6, they come back and report that they could cast out the demons and deliver people through the power of God, the dunamis, the supernatural power of God to change things in the natural world. The disciples did that. They also preached the gospel message, the gospel of repentance, to those that would listen, and they did it in power, delegated authority. Not only that, but the Bible tells us that they were healing the sick. They were anointing them and healing them and seeing disease bow to the name of Jesus and to the exousia, the delegated authority that Jesus had given them. And my question was, last week or the week before, what happened? When you see what the disciples were accomplishing in Mark chapter 6, and then you fast forward to Mark chapter 9, and you see the total opposite when the man actually tells Jesus they had no power over the demon. What happened? Well, last week we began to take a bit of a journey from Mark chapter 6 to Mark chapter 9 to see a progression of events and really a heart progression that the disciples went through that resulted in them having what I'm going to call dysfunctional faith. Dysfunctional faith. And we talked about the end of Mark chapter 6, where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And before he performed that amazing work, he turned to the disciples and asked them to do it. Of course, they were quite taken back by the task. Jesus, understanding they had never seen anything like this, they were still growing in spiritual ways, that he took this as an opportunity to teach them. And he collected the resources that they had, which were the little boy's lunch. He blessed it and asked God to do a work, and it's exactly what happened. And you know the story. The disciples end up taking 12 baskets of leftovers back up and seeing that God has not only the power to divide the bread and the fishes, but also has the power to turn it into leftovers for those that might need it tomorrow. And it was just after the feeding of the 5,000 that Jesus puts the disciples on a boat, tells them to sail to the other side. And it is while they are on this boat ride that the wind comes against them and the waves begin to thrash the boat. Jesus, in the late part of the night, walks out to them on the waves through the wind. The disciples see him walking on water. They think it's a ghost. When Jesus approaches the boat, they realize that it's him. And it's at that time that he reaches the boat that the wind dies down, the waves die down. And the Bible tells us in verse 52 of Mark chapter 6 that they were amazed, that they marveled in themselves at what they had seen. And then we have an interesting verse that comes in verse 52, right on the tail of us being told that they were amazed, that they marveled, which I believe any of us probably would have done. Verse 52 says, they did this for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart, this is the key point here, their heart was hardened. Their heart was hardened. Well, from the end of Mark chapter 6, the beginning of Mark chapter 7, you can go right to the beginning of Mark chapter 8. Just one chapter later, Jesus is sitting at the disciples there are sitting at his feet, and they are looking at now a crowd of 4,000. Jesus turns to them just a few days later from the feeding of the 5,000. He turns to them with this group, and he says, "We can't send them home without food, because some of them have come a long way, and they will faint, they will grow ill on the way home without food." And the disciples turn to Jesus and they say, "How can we feed all these people in the desert with no food? How are we going to do that?" And I told you last week that it was almost like Jesus set them up a baseball on a tee. And gave them an easy home run to hit. Don't you know that if they would have remembered what had happened a few days before, that they could have collected what resources they had and prayed to God the Father to bless it, and he would have acted on their faith and done for the disciples what he had done for Jesus and what Jesus had just taught them just a few days before. But as we learned at the end of Mark chapter 6, their heart was hardened. They did not understand about the loaves. And so they failed to remember that in Mark chapter 8. Right on the tail end of the feeding of the 4,000 this time, when Jesus takes over for them and does what they should have done but did not do. Right on the end of this feeding, Jesus puts them in a boat again. The disciples ought to be seeing some correlation here, but evidently they did not. The Bible says that they get on that boat right after Jesus has had a brief confrontation with the Pharisees. And Jesus is still thinking about this confrontation while they're on the boat. Just after they got on the boat, and he looks to the disciples and he says to them, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod." And the disciples are just, they're just brain numb to what he's talking about, to what's going on. In fact, they begin to talk amongst themselves, saying things like, I guess he's upset with us because we forgot to bring bread on the boat. And Jesus hears what they're saying. Jesus turns to them and says, why? Why are you talking amongst yourselves about not having bread? And it's at this point that Jesus confronts their hardened hearts again. For in verse 17, he says to them, do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? And it's at this point that I want to start talking today, because I believe we're getting to a point of understanding. What happened to the disciples that caused their faith in Mark chapter 6, when they were throwing out demons and healing the sick and preaching the powerful anointed word? What happened to them? How did they get to Mark chapter 9, which is just about to take place, when they have no power over the demon? I think it has a lot to do with the condition of their hearts. For two times, once at the end of Mark chapter 6, and now at the very words of Jesus, their hardened hearts are spoken about. Could it be that our hardened hearts has a direct tie, a parallel, to the functionality of our faith? I think we can easily say that it does, but I want to really look at for the next few minutes the condition of the hardened heart. Because Jesus goes on after he says, is your heart still hardened, in Mark 8, 17. We're going to take a look today at Mark 8, verse 18, the next verse. Jesus is going to give us some direct side effects, if you will. Maybe we could talk about it medically, some signs and symptoms of a condition that Jesus calls a hardened heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for the next few minutes, this is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to ask that you would teach us, what does it mean for a child of God, for a Christian, to have their heart begin to harden against your will and against your way? We ask that you would open the word to us, Lord, in ways that only you can. Holy Spirit, would you now be the teacher? Help us to see exactly what you want us to see. Not just in the lives of these men, these disciples some 2,000 years ago, but in our very lives today. Make it real to us, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The idea of the hardened heart. That word hardened comes from the Greek word poroo. And I told you last week that there's three possible definitions for this Greek word, and I think in some ways, every definition plays perfectly into what's going on with the disciples right now. The first definition of hardened, poroo, is to grow hard or calloused. To grow hard or calloused. The second definition is to become dull. Really speaking of like a tool or an implement like a knife or an axe that when it's sharp is able to be used effectively and efficiently in the work that it's meant to do. But when it becomes dull, then its work is no longer effective. Not only that, but the third definition is to lose the power of understanding. To lose the power of understanding. At the end of last week's discussion and show, I brought up the illustration of a medical condition called arteriosclerosis. And some of you have heard of this. Some of you may have experienced it and been diagnosed with it yourself. Others of you have friends and family, I'm sure, that have. For most people in our society at one time or another has a personal interaction with this disease process. Arteriosclerosis is the hardening of the heart, the arteries of the heart specifically, when the arteries of the heart become stiff and lose their elasticity. Well, that's in a lot of ways what happens to us spiritually. When we talk about spiritual sclerosis, and that word sclerosis is actually a Greek word that means to harden. Spiritual sclerosis is when our spiritual senses, we talk about the senses of the body in vision, smell, taste, hearing, touch, but there are also spiritual senses that we can implement in our lives. And with spiritual sclerosis, or the hardening of our spiritual heart, the spiritual senses began to dull to the true will and the true way and the true word of our Heavenly Father. And that's exactly what Jesus goes into in verse 18 of chapter 8. He's talking about their hardened heart, and here's what he says. Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? So I want to talk about these spiritual senses becoming dulled when our heart becomes hardened to the will and the way and the word of God, when we begin to experience a spiritually hardened heart. The first thing that he says is, having eyes, do you not see? Being in the medical field and just being in life in general, I know people that are legally blind, some of them from birth, some of them through medical conditions, and I'm sure you do too. Perhaps you yourself have a condition like macular degeneration or some other retinal issue that's caused blindness. You know what? Whether it's you personally or not, we know this to be true. A person that is physically blind knows that they cannot see. If you're physically blind, you know you cannot see. And that may sound silly, but I want to juxtapose it to someone that is spiritually blind. Jesus said, having eyes, and he's talking about spiritual eyes, do you not see? Let me tell you this, the spiritually blind person doesn't know that they are spiritually blind. That's the main difference between the physically blind and the spiritually blind. The physically blind know they can't see. The spiritually blind think they can see. And that's why we get Jesus talking to the Pharisees, saying that the blind lead the blind and they fall into the ditch, both of them, because the blind, he's talking about the blind, the spiritually blind Pharisees, believing they can see, are leading people that are obviously spiritually blind, or they wouldn't be following the Pharisees. And their ultimate end is that both of you end up falling in the ditch because you don't know where you're going. You can't see spiritually what you're getting into. Reminds me a lot of the letter to the church of Laodicea that we find in Revelation chapter 3. When Jesus, speaking to the church, says, you say you have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You see, Jesus was telling them, you think you've got it all. You've got it figured out. That you're walking tall, that you're standing out, that you're just some kind of bastion of religious trophy to be seen to the world, that everybody looks at you and oohs and ahs. But Jesus is telling you, you don't have those things. You are not those things. You're wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. And later in that letter, in Revelation chapter 3, he says, receive from me salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. I tell you that when our heart begins to harden, when we take the focus of our faith off of the only thing that maintains a supple and a fertile heart before the Lord, That focus of faith is Christ and his finished work at Calvary. When our faith focus shifts to anything else, then we begin a process of spiritually hardening our hearts. For when we are not focused on the right thing, then whatever else we're focused on is the wrong thing. And when we're focused on the wrong thing, then we lose sight of God and his will and his way, and our heart begins the slow process of becoming hard to the will and the way and the word of God. And when that happens, we become spiritually blinded. Not only that, but Jesus said in verse 18, having ears, do you not hear? Let me tell you this, a spiritually deaf person cannot hear the voice of God, nor can they correctly understand the word of God. The spiritually deaf cannot hear the voice of God, nor can they correctly understand the word of God. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 says this. Says, therefore the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not let your hearts be hardened. And I believe we can take that verse and look at it in reverse and say it this way. What this verse is really trying to tell us, if your heart is hardened, you will not be able to hear his voice, truth seeker. And the word of God, the Holy Spirit saying this, is not speaking to the non-believer. The Holy Spirit only speaks one word to the non-believer. You're a sinner and you need a savior. But to those that are saved, this message comes in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8. Today, if you hear his voice, do not let your hearts be hardened. There's a medical condition called receptive aphasia. It's also known as Wernicke's aphasia because it's a medical condition that affects the Wernicke's area of the brain. It is that area of the brain that allows us to hear someone speak or hear a speech or someone read or that type of thing, and allows us to receive that word and understand it. When it gets to our brain, we receive it and we understand it because the Wernicke area of the brain decodes the spoken word or the written word that we're reading and allows us to grasp the understanding of it. However, if someone has a stroke and it affects that area, then that person won't be able to do that. And some of you may have seen this take place in someone's life. They have a stroke in that area of their brain, and you can speak to them as clearly as I'm trying to speak to you right now, but when it hits their brain, the brain doesn't know how to interpret it, and it comes to them in a scrambled form or fashion, and they look at you. It must be so frustrating. I can't even imagine to look at you, say, I hear you saying something, but it makes absolutely no sense to me. And it's not that they're deaf and that they can't hear anything at all, but what they hear is scrambled and it makes no sense. They hear the words, but the interpretation of the spoken word or the written word is scrambled and is misunderstood. And this is exactly what happens to a child of God whose heart has begun to harden because they've drawn away from the basic relationship that we should have with him in faith. And when that happens, that hardened heart begins to dull our ears. And so we hear the preacher and we hear the brother or sister that's encouraging us in the word, but the understanding does not come to our spirit correctly. It's scrambled. It's misunderstood. We read the word of God, but we're not hearing it because the anointing of the Spirit can't get to our hardened hearts because we've turned, in certain ways, a deaf ear to him. You see, the disciples heard Jesus say, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," that day on the boat. They heard it, but they didn't hear him because their hearts were hardened and their ears were dull. The last thing Jesus says in verse 18 is, "Do you not remember?" He says, "Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember?" I think he's talking right now about spiritual amnesia. They could not remember what they had seen and what they had heard. Jesus showed them when he fed 5,000, but when it came to the 4,000, they didn't even remember that it was the exact same scenario and situation. Let me put it to you this way. Think about this. If you were on trial, and your life was on the line, how confident would you be if the best witness for your defense was both blind and deaf? Not very good, I'm sure, because blind and deaf disqualifies you or I as a true witness because we have no personal experience to recall. We can't tell the jury or the judge what we've seen or what we heard. Let me tell you, the spiritually blind and deaf are not true witnesses for Christ because they have no memory of the spiritual events that they should draw from. So it was with the disciples. Jesus is saying, "Do you not remember all that you've seen me do, all that I've taught you? Don't you remember when I gave you authority and sent you out two by two? Your hearts are hardened." And the result of that is in chapter 9, when the Father says to Jesus, "So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast out the demon, but they could not." So often I think that's the condition that many of us live in as Christians. We don't even realize we're there. Why? Because we're spiritually blind, we're spiritually deaf, and we're spiritually dumb. We have spiritual amnesia. Most of us don't even realize we've come to this place where our faith is now dysfunctional, not effective, because we're instead dealing with a hardened heart. Matthew chapter 17, this same story of the father and demon-possessed son takes place. The disciples come to Jesus after he heals the boy in private, and they say, "Why couldn't we do it?" Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 17, verse 20, as he responds to them. He says, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible for you." Correctly placed faith is functional faith. At the end of Mark 9, in this same show, the same scenario, they came into the house and the disciples asked him privately in verse 28, "Why could we not cast it out?" And Jesus said to them, "This kind can come out only by prayer and fasting." You see, a spiritual life focused on God has the correct object of faith, and therefore the faith is functional. And the exousia, the delegated authority, is functional. And the dunamis, the power of God that can come to us when our faith is right and the exousia is being used, is there. And the dunamis power of God can affect. From a position of power, the disciples had taken focus off of God through Jesus Christ and placed it on themselves, really. When this takes place, the process of the hardening of the heart begins, and the harder the heart, the more eroded the faith. But on the opposite side of that, when our faith is correctly placed on Jesus Christ and not on ourselves or anything else, then we can operate in delegated authority and allows God to administer dunamis through our lives. We must allow God to bring us to a place where it's not about me, Lord, it's about you. Maybe you need to give up today, truth seeker. Get back to square one and let Jesus reclaim your heart. Till up the hardened ground. 1 John 1:9 is still true. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I hope this has blessed you. Until next week, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573. Or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.